Saturday Night Theater. We present Barbara Cooper in Village Green with Vi Stevens, adapted for radio by Lance Siebking from the novel by John Montgomery. Village Green.
I ought to have made a shopping list, I suppose. Oh, I know there were some other things, but I can't remember what they were.
Oh, that's what you said yesterday, Mrs. White, and the day before.
I know, Mrs. Crabb. I'm really terribly stupid, aren't I?
Haven't you never housekept before? I mean, before you come to live here in Woodley?
No, never. When I was a secretary in London, I was with a film company.
Oh, really? Oh, I've heard of them.
What? The one I worked for? How did you know which one it was?
Oh, I didn't, dearie.
But you said...
Oh, I meant I'd heard of film companies.
Oh.
Oh, you've not been married long, eh?
No, about 4 months. I was going to say that when I was in London, I lived in a hostel.
Fancy. Well, you got tea, butter, and an india rubber. Now, could it have been biscuits?
No.
Or tin fruit?
No.
Sardines? Or porridge oats?
No, I don't think so.
It wouldn't be a toilet roll, would it?
No. No. Oh, Mrs. Crabb, how kind you are. I love this little shop of yours. It's just exactly what I've always imagined a village shop would be like.
Oh, everything all over the place.
That's what I like. It's so... Oh, it's so friendly, if you know what I mean.
Oh, we're friendly enough, I expect, in Woodley. Most of us, that is. Of course, there's some as is different. Funny lot, some of them.
Oh.
But being the only shop in the village, they all comes to me. Oh, I hears most things as soon as other people. Before some people, you know. Oh, good morning, Mrs. Bangs.
Good morning, Mrs. Crabb.
But as I was saying, Ma Crabb, they calls me. Mm-hmm. Cheek it is from the nippers, but, oh, I like to see them enjoy themselves. Ice lollies they have, you know, the ones on sticks or humbugs or fizzy lemon.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I've been in Woodley Village Shop for more than 50 years. Yes, Jeremiah, that was my husband, he was a carrier.
Oh, really?
Oh, I wish you could have seen his cart. Lovely green it was, with yellow wheels and all.
Treacle and bacon.
What?
Yes, and matches.
Oh, you've remembered. Yes. That's good. I know I've got some treacle somewhere around. Down in that corner under them apples, wasn't it? No. And, I'm sure I saw
it. Now, you must be the new tenant at Stockett.
Yes. We've been there nearly 2 months.
I'm from the manor. I look after Lady Edmonds. How are you settling down?
Oh, fine. Fine.
Sure?
Oh, yes.
I only wondered because... Well, I've always wondered about Stockett's. Lady Edmonds has 7 or 8 cottages on the estate, but I've never been in any of them.
No?
Nor has she, not in all the years we've been here. Leastways, I don't think she has. Certainly not lately.
Oh.
So I've always wondered... That is, I wondered why it was the tenant stayed on, dying and being born and getting married, you know, but never moving out, except at Stockett's.
Oh.
Of course, I know what it was in the case of the Cordingleys. George Cordingley went off owing money all round. But there, I'm talking too much, ain't I?
Oh, no, not at all.
It isn't the state of the cottage, is it? I mean inside. You can see the outside wants doing up. Well, you can see that from the outside. But, well... The roof? Ceilings? Paint?
Well, Michael and I were jolly lucky to find it. We'd been married only about 4 months, and we looked absolutely everywhere. Every possible small place within an hour of London.
What's he do, your husband?
He's an actor.
He's in the profession? Oh, just like us.
Michael's done rep, of course, but now he's a film extra and bit parts once in a blue moon.
Oh, ain't that lovely? I know she'd be pleased to think of professional people at Stockett's.
We almost gave up hope.
Oh?
Well, we went by bus to Shear. Shamley Green, Cranley, Godalming, Ewhurst. Oh, everywhere.
Yeah.
We couldn't go too far because of Michael's having to get to the studios.
Of course not.
Well, we were in despair when we found Stockett's. We'd have taken it if it hadn't had any doors or windows.
Well, it hasn't got the electric, nor yet a proper toilet. That I do know. How's the furniture? Chairs a bit wobbly.
Oh, I don't know.
I must come and see you.
Oh, Treacle, I found it.
Oh, good.
Oh, how she got under them boxes of fertilizer. It's a proper tickler. Oh, but here she is.
Thank you, Mrs. Crabb. Oh, and have you any streaky bacon?
Bacon? Well, now, there was some very nice streaky bacon that came in on Monday. Now, was it Monday?
Is that you, Mrs. Bangs?
Yes, dear.
Oh, do come in.
Oh, well, here I am, dearie. Come to have a look at you. You do seem a bit of a mess, like you was telling me yesterday.
I'm afraid I know very little about running a house.
You don't have to tell Emma Bangs that, ducky. With the draining board of your sink all cluttered up with packets of tea and pots of jam and... Oh, lovey, the dust.
Oh. Yes, I know. I think my husband finds me an awful muddler. But at home, I never had to do anything for myself. And he's really quite helpless.
That's like Lady Edmunds. She's just like that. Mm. You really do need some help.
Well, we couldn't afford it just yet.
Then you should have a system.
How do you mean?
Well, you have to keep everything in the right place. Anky's in the proper drawer.
Oh, most of our laundry seems to stay in the basket.
Oh, no, dearie. I remember not being able to cook eggs when I was first married. My husband was on the halls. Very nice act they had. Trapeze, you know. I had to ask him how to cook bacon and eggs, and he knew all right.
Oh, I can manage that. It's omelets that defeat me.
Here. Hmm. Would you like me to come over and help you sometimes? Show you how to do things like...
Oh, could you?
Oh, yes. Lady Edmunds never gets up till late. I get bored in that great big house. I shouldn't want anything, not for coming in to give you a hand on me.
Oh, but please,
No, I wouldn't, dearie. I'd enjoy coming. Oh, it's lonely up there.
Well, that would be wonderful. I remember the first day when we discovered there was no electricity. We hadn't noticed in the excitement of taking the cottage. And Michael said, "You'll have to learn to cook by oil, I'm afraid." And I said, "I'll have to learn to cook. Full stop."
Oh, well, dearie, you won't know yourself a week from now. I'll tell Lady Edmunds what I've arranged.
Darling.
Darling.
Darling. I brought you some daffs. Here they are.
Oh, lovely. I find a vase.
Whatever's happened? But, darling, the whole place looks wonderful. It's so tidy and... My word. Polish.
I'm glad you noticed.
Noticed? I hardly recognized it. Look, what's become of that great hole worn through the carpet over by the kitchen door?
Oh, we turned the carpet round and put the hole over in that corner.
We? Well, who's we?
Silly, I told you.
Oh, you mean...
She means me, Mr. White.
Of course. You're Mrs. Bangs, aren't you, from the big house? How do you do?
How do you do? I won't shake hands if you don't mind, because my hands is all covered with flour just for making a gravy.
Gravy? Am I dreaming?
Now then, darling, I know I've given you bacon and baked beans every day since we've been here, but you needn't be harsh about it. And in that ham voice, too.
Ham, is it? Begorra, woman, and this only the fourth month of our wedded bliss. Holy sis.
Yeah. Steak and kidney pie with mushrooms.
What?
What about that, dear?
Marvelous.
It was a bit of an undertaking, but I thought you'd like it, darling.
You don't mean that you...
Mm-hmm. You're with Emma's help. And there's double Gloucester to follow. Oh, we're not eating in the kitchen anymore.
Oh, on that table in the window, eh?
That's it. Everything's ready.
I am famished. There's something you haven't noticed, Mary.
Oh, is there, Michael?
Yes, you're so full of your own miracles, and I don't say that you haven't every right. However... This pie is absolutely delicious. I'm going to want some more.
Oh, that's the spirit, dearie.
Yeah. You haven't yet observed that I arrived home in a car.
Hmm?
A very small car, it's true, but a car for all that.
Goodness, did you? Oh, is that it out there?
It is, my love. I refrain from bringing it into the house purely out of consideration for your feelings.
Idiot.
Oh, was the gentleman?
Oh, darling, you've got the job.
To my amazement, yes.
Oh,
is that what you
was telling me about, Ducky?
Yes, Emma. Salesman in that firm in Wayford that make farm implements and machinery.
£9 a week, Mrs. Bangs. And the use of that little car to take me around the farms and the country houses.
Oh, Michael, how clever of you.
Yeah, pity all the same. Always a pity when a promising young fellow gives up. You wouldn't have been resting much longer, I don't expect.
Oh, couldn't afford it. No money. And I mean no money. Neither of us.
And we fell in love with dear Stockett's. It's tumble down, I know, but it's our first home, our very own.
Love in a cottage, I...
That's it. But 3.5 dinners a week rent. I'm going to get a teaching job, I hope, so we'll be able to stay here. Woodley is such a lovely village.
It is, isn't it? Queer at first. You know, after Leicester Square and the Strand.
I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to driving around the lanes, calling at all the lovely old farmhouses. You know, it's beautiful out towards Chiddingfold and Elstead.
On a fine day, you can see right across the Weald to the South Downs. But it's not the same as Leicester Square and the Strand.
No, I know what you mean.
You'll miss it.
I've never had a West End engagement.
Oh, but you miss the smell of the grease paint and the way the audiences usher from chattering as the curtain goes up. And the way they hang on your words in the big scenes and then burst out clapping like mad all of a sudden like and shouting, bravo, bravo, and laughing and crying and stamping their feet. Even after all these years, she still misses the theatre.
Oh, no, she does.
Who do you mean?
Why, Lady Edmonds, of course. We've been together now for 40 years. Ever since my husband fell off the trapeze.
Oh, I'm so sorry. How terrible.
You know, she still misses it. As her dressing table up at the manor, all laid out like in a dressing room in the theatre, with pots and glass bottles and boxes of powder and little brushes and tubes of colour and the rabbit's foot. Oh, just as if she was going down onto the stage instead of to the dining room. After all these years. Well, I can tell you, I understand how she feels. It took me ever so long to get used to the peculiar smell of fresh air. I'm not really used to it yet.
Yes, of course. You mean that you and Lady Edmonds had some sort of act together with your husband?
You don't know who Lady Edmonds is. I mean, was.
Well, I'm afraid. I'm sorry, but
she was the famous beauty, the musical comedy star, Poppy Primrose of the Old Gaiety.
Poppy Primrose?
Oh.
Well, of course she was a bit before our time, but everyone's heard of her. And you were with her, you said.
I was her dresser. All through the run of the Colonel and the Guards and Ascot for a Mad.
Yes.
Oh, that was a pretty show. Lovely hats they all had. And her hat was bigger than anyone else's. Couldn't get it through the dressing room door or down the stairs. I had to carry it down sideways and put it on her head in the wind. And the music. Oh, that was a show where she had to sing that sloppy number, Two Hearts Aflame. Look at me trying to sing. Did you ever?
I've got a picture postcard of her somewhere with a lot of others my father collected. Gabby DeLise, Zena and Phyllis Dare, Gladys Cooper, Gertie Miller. He thought they were marvellous. Mm. And one of Poppy Primrose in that musical show. Oh, what was it called? Rosie something.
Oh, My Dear Rosie.
Yes, that's it.
That was her last. Oh, wonderful show. Ran for 3 years. Closed in July 1918.
Why was it her last? I mean, she was still young.
She was 26. Sir Benjamin Edmonds went around saying she was the most beautiful girl in London. And so she was.
Ah, I see.
She married him at the end of the run of My Dear Rosie. He was a real stage door Johnny, was Sir Benjamin. He courted her with diamonds and champagne suppers and all. And every evening, there he was at the stage door with the biggest bunch of flowers I ever see. And his blooming great white motor.
And she's been living down here in Woodley Manor ever since?
Yes, oh yes. And she says to me one night, Bangy dear, if I get married, you must come with me. I'm sick of the blasted stage. And I'm certainly not going out on tour again. Not for Lovey Lord himself.
We peeped up the avenue the other day. It looks a bit overgrown.
Bless your heart, it's a blooming jungle. It's more than 30 years since Sir Benjamin died. Lady Edmonds is getting on now. We both are, for the matter of that. She don't get up till after lunch, and she never goes out anywhere. Her art's a bit funny, you see.
I bet they're waiting.
Turn it off, Bangy. I can't hear a word you're saying. You've got to hand it to her. She knew how to put a number across. And those dresses she used to wear.
Cool. Well, the vicar is waiting in the drawing room.
What the hell for? Can't be the bells. I've got them. Oh, money, I suppose. You say I was in?
Where else could you be?
Gardening, you old idiot.
Oh, that'll be the day.
Don't be rude. Really, there's no privacy around here in this village. One might as well live in a greenhouse and sleep out naked on the lawn. They all know everything you do. Expect they even know what I'm having for lunch. Spies. What am I having, anyway?
Chicken and champagne, of course.
Darling Bangy, you're an angel. But I think I'm getting a bit of a tum. We better have fish tomorrow, Filthy Finnan.
All right. When are you going to see him?
Why not? Send him up.
What, up here to your bedroom?
Well, I'm quite respectable. You can warn him I haven't been well. And clear away all these awful papers, darling. I don't know why we have so many. Nothing in them but a lot of piffle. And pass me the hand mirror and a comb.
Here you are.
Thanks. And my hare's foot. Thanks. You are the honey, honeysuckle. I am the bee. Come in.
The vicar, my lady.
Oh, come and sit over here, vicar. Near the bed. No, 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 no. This chair's more comfortable.
Oh, thank you, Lady Edmonds. I do hope that I didn't think...
Well, I haven't been out today. I'm not feeling very well.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Only last week or the week before, the Deputy Lord Lieutenant was on the telephone, and I said to him that even for his dear wife, I mustn't break my rule. And only the other day, I was so very sorry that I had to say I couldn't open the church bazaar.
That was 2 years ago, Lady Edmonds.
Was it? Was it really? Oh, I've no sense of time now, not since a Benjamin died.
No.
I dismissed most of the staff, you know. Had the car covered over, sold the horses, and refused all invitations ever since.
I quite understand, Lydia.
So glad. Well, what can I do for you?
Lady Edmonds, there's something I think you ought to know.
Oh, yes, I'm afraid it is a very long time since I've been to church.
No, it's not
you
that.
You see, Dr. Collins told me I'd have to take it very quietly. No long walks, plenty of rest.
It's quite so.
I asked him why. Whatever's the matter with me, it's your heart, he said.
Oh, dear.
Well, I don't mind telling you, that did put the wind up me a bit, because, well, I've been having these queer pains.
Oh.
He said it was aneurysm of the aorta, and I must never overexert myself again, but just relax and take life slowly.
Yes.
Relax, you know.
Yes, I do sympathize. My old
I
mother
I asked
was...
him if I might suddenly drop dead at any moment, and he said not if I kept quiet and took plenty of rest. If I didn't, well...
Yes, I'm truly sorry, Lady Edmonds. We have thought there might be something, as we never see you in the village nowadays. I hope your eyes aren't troubling you, too.
Mm-hmm. My eyes? Oh, no, I don't think so.
Those large, dark glasses you're wearing.
Oh, that's just a habit, you know.
Oh, yes, yes. Lady Edmonds, I think you should know, if you are not already aware, that there is a plot afoot.
Afoot? Oh, really, Vicar? Afoot?
Hello, this is the minister. Will you please ask Mr. Bellman to come to my room? Good Lord. Come in. Morning, Bellman. This side of Whitehall is much nicer than the other.
Good morning, minister. You wanted to see me?
Yes, Bellman, yes. I wanted to have a chat with you. Sit down. This is the end of our first week of the Ministry of Development.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yes. Rather better than our first day, Bellman.
Monday?
Last Monday. You cannot have forgotten, Bellman, that I asked for you at 9:35, nearly 36. And as you hadn't arrived, I asked for Wag, and as he wasn't in for Spoon, and none of you arrived before 9:42. On our first day.
Well, sir, the new moving staircase at Waterloo had broken down, and there was some confusion among the crowds. Your moving staircase, sir?
I can't deny that I was instrumental in having them put in, but you shouldn't call them mine, Bellman. No, no. The public. One works for the public good, pro bono publico, according to one's lights. Yes.
Just so. Just so, quite.
Yes, 12 abreast. It's quite something, you know, Bellman. It impressed the PM. Cockett, he said to me one evening, he stopped me in the lobby. Cockett, he said, that's a fine moving staircase of yours, a magnificent job. He said he remembered me at Souchester.
The Prime Minister was in the lower sixth when we were in the removes.
Yeah, that's it. He said he always expected to hear of me again.
You used to say he was a...
One can be mistaken, Bellman. One can be mistaken. But I was just going to ask you if they've got my the moving staircase going again. I've not been going down to Wayford, so I've not been to Waterloo for several days. I've been sleeping at the club.
They got them going, sir. But they stuck again on Wednesday.
You didn't hear any adverse comments about them?
Oh, no, sir. Everyone likes them. They're wonderful.
Oh, God. By the way, what exactly is the effect of a large crowd walking 12 abreast down a stationary escalator?
Slow, but quite orderly.
No bad feeling?
No, no, sir. People are accustomed to inconvenience. They've learned to expect queues and traffic jams and delays and strikes and bottlenecks. In a way, I suppose, life would seem strange without these minor disasters.
The PM told me that the idea of a Ministry of Development had come to him suddenly, as many brilliant ideas do. There must be places, he said, which remain still undeveloped, virgin countryside that needs a planning hand.
The wasted acres of England.
The wasted acres of England.
Yes, you told me, sir.
Yeah, did I, Bellman? The wasted acres. It's true, you know. A green meadow, a lonely oak tree in a park, an old country house. What use are they? What purpose do they serve?
Just so, Minister, just so.
How are they helping the export trade and closing the sterling gap?
Exactly.
The PM said to me, Cockett, he said, out of the wasteland, I expect you and your new ministry to create new towns. Contemporary ones, of course. And you can guess, Bellman, what I answered.
You said to the Prime Minister, you can rely on me, sir, absolutely.
Joe Bellman, that's exactly what I did say. And here we are. We are all very much on trial, you know, as yet. Well, I have to go to the house. I'll be back after lunch. Ring me if there's anything important.
Yes, sir.
Oh, what's this on my desk? Men of Development. With all those who wish to join the chess club, please get in touch with me. A match against the Men of Sanitation has been arranged. Hugo Spoon.
His hobby, sir. He's hoping to beat sanitation.
Well, drop a hint around that I'd like everyone to join. We want to make our mark.
Yes, I will. By the way, you'll want a conference, sir, perhaps on Wednesday?
No, Thursday. Fix one for 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Let me see a list of those who should attend. Tea, coffee, biscuits. Mm. Not cakes until we're more established. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Oh, there's just one point.
Yes?
You might tell Spoon that the expression get in touch with is long-winded and old-fashioned. The modern and more expressive word is contacts. Everyone uses it. BBC say it dozens of times a day. If people wish to join the chess club, they should contact him.
I quite understand.
Never use four words where one is adequate.
Quite so.
Men of Development and Men of Sanitation, on the other hand, is quite in the right tone. Modern, up-to-date, on the spot and all that sort of thing. I suppose one couldn't abbreviate them still further. Men of Devel, Men of San, or Sene. No, I suppose not. Pity. Well, I must go to the house. Good morning, Bellman.
Good morning, Minister. Good. That's what I was hoping to hear.
Yes. I and Wag have been hard at it all the week. And I think, mind you, I'm not positive, but I think our efforts have met with a certain degree of success. Yes.
Well, I've not been idle myself. The important thing is to prove we're keen. At the earliest possible moment, we must put up a project, a development scheme. Come over here to the map. I've been considering Sussex carefully. We want a new area to develop, a garden city project or a housing scheme. Something to start the new ministry off.
Did you go to Brighton as you thought you might?
I did.
Oh,
I didn't imagine that Brighton could expand much further. I merely thought of it as a convenient centre from which to explore the surrounding country. It's only an hour from Victoria since the railways have been nationalised.
What was it before?
60 minutes.
Well, did you get any ideas?
Well, no. Disappointing. I went to Ditchling, for example, and Clayton, where the windmills are, and Hurstpier Point. But none of them are really suitable for building a satellite town. No industry whatever, and miles from anywhere. And I've been thinking about Wayfern.
Ah.
Only about 50 minutes out of Waterloo.
The minister lives there.
That's what I mean. He's dead keen on the expansion of the town. Look how excited he was when they put the new traffic signs up. They have more restrictions there than any other town in the south of England.
Yes, yes, I know.
I've been thinking. Suppose we find a village near Wayford, not too near, which we can plan as a satellite area. It'd be quite a feather in his cap, wouldn't it?
Well, it might indeed be if we work it all out first and then present it to him for approval.
Oh, look on the map. Now, here's Wayford, right in the heart of Surrey. Ah. But which village shall we choose? Albury, Shalford, Compton, Wanborough, Puttenham, Seal? Strange name.
Move your finger a little further to the left. The west.
Wallace, Shamley Green, Woodley.
Stop!
Eh? What?
That is where Wag and I have been. And it's what I believe in the Air Force they call a piece of cake.
Really?
Yes, just exactly the place. There's a small sideline, but we could easily enlarge it and build a new station. And it's on a side road, quite undeveloped.
If it's an agricultural area...
Oh, it is.
That may present difficulties.
We've thought of that.
Unless we can find land that isn't being properly used. Are there any big estates?
That's just exactly the point. There is.
Oh, good.
Woodley Manor. It's right next to the village.
Hmm.
Park and other land has been allowed to go to rack and ruin. Barns falling down, weeds everywhere.
Nice village?
No modern amenities whatever. The whole place looks exactly as it must have done for 200 or 300 years. Quite deplorable. The locals are just living in the past.
A plot, Vicar? Mm. What kind of plot could be... Well, how did you put it? A foot in a tiny, peaceful little place like Woodley, a village completely out of the world. Come, come, Vicar.
A plot to alter all our lives, to turn the village into a town, to destroy everything we like and replace it with something modern.
Oh, gracious.
Not that modern buildings need to be ugly, it's just that they usually are. Contemporary, I think the word is, although it is now quite wrongly used. Tell me, Lady Edmonds, do you like contemporary things?
Yeah, I can't say I've seen many, unless you mean those uncomfortable chairs with thin legs and those lavatory lights.
Then you don't know about the plan to alter the village.
No, why should I? I hardly ever go out. I never meet anyone. I only read the London papers. What exactly do you mean, alter the village?
They want to change everything, dear lady, everything. The plan is centered on the manor and the park, your home. That's where they're going to build most of their new houses and road, in your park.
Good heavens.
And where your house is now, they'll put up a factory. But you mean they haven't even asked you?
Not a word. This is the first I've heard of it. Oh, but of course they can't. I'm not going to sell the place or any part of it. I just won't agree. So that's the end of their plan, finished. Anything else?
I don't think they expect you to sell voluntarily.
Indeed.
No. You see, they have powers.
And who, pray, are they?
Oh, there's a new government department just been formed to do, apparently, just this kind of thing. The Ministry of Development.
Oh, I'll develop them. I won't have it.
If they choose to exercise these powers, they can compel you to sell and take over the whole place, lock, stock and barrel.
Impossible.
Well, it's been done before. The park isn't being used for agriculture, so they can turn you out. Quite easily.
Cows.
I beg your pardon.
Cows. I must put cows out to graze. That'll fox them.
Too late, I fear. The land has been unused for too long. They want to lay a great concrete road where your drive is. And here, where the manor is, they're going to put a glue factory.
Pigs.
What did you say?
Pigs. We'll put some pigs in the old sties near the stables. They can't do anything about providing bacon for the nation's lather.
I fear they will merely find you an alternative home and new sties for your pigs.
Quite out of the question. I've no intention of going. I'll fight them every yard of the way. I'll beat the dogs at their own game. No one shall find Lady Lucy lacking in strength.
Lady Lucy?
Well, figuratively speaking... Oh. One of my successes, you know. Her royal master. You didn't see it by any chance?
I'm afraid not, Lady Edmonds.
Vicar, what about a little drink? Hmm? A glass of sherry?
Oh, well...
Bangy will give you one downstairs while I'm getting up. And then we'll go into this more thoroughly.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Perhaps you'll take potluck and stay to lunch.
Thank you, Lady Edmonds. Thank you.
Of all the blasted nerve. No one's going to remove Poppy Edmonds from the stage until the last curtain. She'll see to that.
Sounds very mysterious. When are we going to know about it?
Well, not for a week or two unless it leaks out in the press. It's really quite a worrying situation. If it comes, I don't think it's too extravagant to say that all our lives will be changed. Considerably changed.
Surely it can't be as bad as that.
You make it sound like a major disaster.
Well, you know, in some ways I think it would be. Perhaps I've said too much. Never mind, with you two on the council, we shall stand a better chance. You have the right spirit. That's what we want. Goodbye for the moment.
Goodbye, Vicar.
Goodbye, Vicar.
What do you think the vicar meant?
I can't imagine, but it sounds quite serious. Fancy you and me on a parish council. You know something? I feel thirsty. Do you think we could have one at the plough? It might be fun.
Well, haven't we anything at home?
Yes, but I feel like having a drink out. And I've never been in the plough.
Well, I don't know. Oh, yes. Come on, then. The bar will be full. We'll be lucky to find a seat.
Morning, Mr. White.
Hello. Good morning.
Who's that boy? I've seen him about often.
I don't know. The whole village knows us now. Oh, they're a friendly lot here in Woodley. Ah, that's a jolly nice old sign, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like the way those old boards swing and their rusty hinges. Listen. There you are.
I say, shall I be the only woman in the bar, do you think?
Yes, I expect so. Ooh. Oh, come on.
Morning, morning, Mr. White.
Morning, Mr. Gale. Yes. Morning, Mr. Bain.
Morning.
And you're a good lady. And seen you in uniform, Mrs. White.
No, this is the first time. This is Mr. Gale, darling, the blacksmith of Woodley.
Good morning.
Morning, ma'am.
Goodness, what a lot of people.
A gin and French and a pint of best bitter, please.
Right, well, Mr. White. Glad to see you. Are you settling in, know what I mean?
Oh, we're doing nicely, thank you.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. Knowing that cottage as I do, what with people taking it and going, and coming to tell me their woes, if you know what I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you told me the roof had fell in there, know what I mean?
Oh, no, it's not as bad as that. In fact, we like it very much.
Well, your granddad had stock. It's when he was first married. That was in old Sir Benjamin's father's time, Sir Tobias as well.
Nice little cottage, but could do with a bit of paint and mortar, know what I mean?
They call it Stockett's because the family called Stockett's used to live in it. Back William the Fourth's time. My old granddad come from Ripley, and when he was a boy, he used to sit on his uncle's waiting for the London coach to come in. There was always a passenger good for twopence, which meant bread and beer and pickles.
You couldn't buy a newspaper with it today.
You are almost right.
Okay.
Oh, I've never seen you with a newspaper, young gentleman.
Nor never he will, either.
You know him, Miss White?
Huh?
He's young Jenner. I expect you've seen him driving that there motor tractor down the lane. He's a rare one with that motor tractor. You know what I mean.
Hello, young Jenner.
Hello, Mr. White.
You like driving it?
Oh, goes faster than no bloody horse any road.
Oh, your old flame will kill some of that ruddy perishing tractor one of these days.
Steady with your language. There's a lady just behind you. You know what I mean?
Oh,
this gin is awful. I should have chosen sherry.
Not in an English pub. Half a crown a thimbleful and tastes like licorice.
Mrs. Doyle has just had another. Eh? I don't know how many that makes it.
She's a foreigner from Chichester. Eight of them she's got. To beat me where they all sleep.
Any strangers been around lately, Mr. Gale?
Well, there were a man down from London down on Thursday, Mrs. White asked, and a lot of questions. Asked me how many horses I shot in a week. I told him as I only shot 5 horses in 2 months. You know, that seemed to please him. Nothing and a smiling he wasn't, making nuts. I couldn't fathom it at all.
I wonder why.
Oh, silly, I reckon. Why, there ain't hardly any horses about anywhere nowadays. Oh, no, no. That I remember more than 12 years ago, Sir Benjamin, he kept 12 hunters up at the manor, and riding horses, too. Oh, and the farmers. I were busy then. Oh, no, 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 no.
Well, Lady Edmonds doesn't ride or anything?
Oh, bless you, no, no, no. Her ladyship don't even come out of that old white money car of hers. She hasn't been seen in the village for years. I don't know when I last saw her. Stables up at the manor have been shut and empty for years.
That London man come in for beer.
Did he?
There were two of them.
That's right. They had umbrellas and billycock hats. Oh, give us another pint, Joe.
Umbrellas.
Them two men asked some more there. Questions. Reckon they were looking for a house, so you know what I mean.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Mr. Blessing and Smythe came in for 10 filter tips. He never has a drink. They has all their groceries and drinks sent over from Wayford. My crab at the shop and me here at the plough, we'll probably make our fortunes out of it, you know what I mean.
Who is Mr. Blessing and Smythe?
Oh, I don't rightly know. I've heard said he's a stockbroker. Anyway, and his missus don't have nothing to do with us people in Woodley. Built that great posh mansion about 5 years back and laid out them tennis lawns and a fountain in...
Oh, I know the place you mean. Behind some trees. Lots of little gnomes and bunnies.
They got three enormous cars and two gardeners. You know, it's my opinion there's something unaccountable going on. What are them London men nosing around the park for?
Probably called to see Lady Edmund.
What? With a long tape measure, pacing out distances up the drive and doing all manner of unaccountable things.
What kind of thing?
Well, sir, my grandboy was there. He saw a marching up and down and counting paces. Now, that's unaccountable, isn't it? In the middle of nowhere, would you say?
Very. Yes, very.
Maybe your ladyship's going to sell up.
No.
Some years since you got rid of Gallup's Field. Oh, taxes be tedious heavy these days, you know.
Yes, but surely she wouldn't sell the park. Or she'd get rid of something further away from the house.
Yes, well, maybe she wouldn't. Maybe she wouldn't. You can never tell.
No, I quite agree with you, my dear Spoon.
Hmm.
The thing to do is press on. The minister's not getting rested yet. Not yet. But he feels, as we do ourselves, that the min of development has got to show its teeth. Well, perhaps that's rather too strong. It's
claws.
No, no, Spoon. You know perfectly well what I'm trying to say. The ministry is an unknown quantity as yet. It has to demonstrate. It has to establish and show its...
Its devotion.
No, no. Enterprise, Spoon. Combined, of course, with a crystal clear understanding of the needs of the time, the problems and their solution.
The problems and their solution.
Of course, there may be opposition.
Well, naturally, but I think we can count on the minister to back us up.
Oh, Ivo Cockett wants something large, positive and easy to understand. And soon. 5 weeks since I went down to Woodley with you. Well,
I and Wag are getting on far quicker than I dared hope. There are already 4 filing cabinets, nearly full, Bellman.
Indeed.
Letters, reports, suggestions, plans, minutes of meetings and so forth.
Good, good. Good.
We've already had estimates from 38 firms of drainage specialists, builders, concrete manufacturers, road makers, etc.
I'm glad to hear it.
And I think I should be able to let you have a pretty complete plan of the whole scheme next week.
Ah.
Together with a list of firms to whom we either have promised contracts or actually given them.
Oh. I don't think you...
Well, nothing of any great consequence, but I and Wag know that you're anxious for us to present the minister as soon as maybe with a scheme that is cut and dried, eh?
Cut and dried. Funny things, words, aren't they, Spoon?
Mm-hmm.
To all such a plan as ours, a plan that is scarcely sown, scarcely planted, a plan that is surely going to have a most luxuriant, a most abundant blossoming, to refer to it as cut and dried.
You know, Bellman, you sounded just like the old man. I mean, the minister. That's exactly the way he talks when he gets going.
We have a lot in common, Ivo Cockett and I. I was talking to him the other day about compulsory crazy paving, and he told me about his proposals for dealing with traffic congestion. They are new and sensational. And will divert attention from the government's foreign policy.
Ah. Uh-huh.
He's going to propose to make it illegal to drive a car except on certain days.
Excellent.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you might drive if your surname began with the letters A to K. The rest of the week should belong to the elder Z people.
There would, of course, be exceptions.
Oh, yes. The police, for instance. Doctors, possibly.
The higher ranks of the civil service.
Naturally. Goes without saying.
Talking of traffic, I saw a pony and trap down at Woodley.
Did you?
Yes. Now, that's the kind of thing that'll have to go when we run the new road through. A pony and trap, I mean, it might hold up a whole row of cars for as long as 20 minutes, wasting valuable man hours. When development comes to Woodley and the glue factory's in full production, the roads roundabout will be so busy with cars, lorries and bicycles that horse traffic will simply have to be discontinued.
Yes, yes. Well, what are we doing about the cricket pitch on the village green? And the green,
Eh? Oh, I don't think we should be doing anything with the green, except making it rather smaller. Not forgetting the new bus shelter. All glass, of course, so that no behavior can go on in it.
Hmm. We're pulling down the thatched hovels and the pub, aren't we?
And the smithy.
Yes, of course. I'm thinking cricket balls, you know. When the new houses are up, close all round every side of the green, and their windows are so much bigger. Perhaps it would be better if...
Well, cricket balls are certainly very hard.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Of course there'll be some opposition.
Opposition that will be dealt with as and when it arises. People must be persuaded, by force if necessary, to appreciate that change is good for them and essential for the community.
Yes. Yes, of course.
Yes, and here it is, the map and plan they've sent me. Give me a hand, someone. I can't keep it down. We'll roll up again all the time.
Well, let's put this heavy tray in the corner.
Yes, that's it. Now, that brass inkstand on the other corner.
And this flower vase at the other end. Now, how's that?
Yes, yes, that should keep it down. Thank you. Well, as I was saying just now, we thought it would be only right to invite Lady Edmonds to attend this meeting of the parish council because of her special interest as owner of the manor.
Oh, yes, that's quite right, yes.
And I'm sure we're all very glad to see her here today.
Here, here.
Thank you very much. I certainly want to help.
Well, there is the village as they hope it will be. You see, they expect to alter it a good deal. It's really a great pity. This is in so many ways a lovely village.
But need they spoil it? If they have to build, must they interfere with what we've got?
Apparently. Look here. There's Hovenant's farm.
Yes.
Now, you see what they want to do? There's a row of 20 new houses along the hedge, right in front of the farm, facing the green.
Oh, no, right upon Hovenant's. Oh, no, 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 that's bad.
Mind you, they're not on agricultural land. They're filling in a gap. But the houses will be visible to the whole green. So let's hope they're attractive.
Judging by the plans, they're not.
If I wanted to build 20 houses, I'd choose a site near a Partridge Wood, where it's out of the way and no one would mind.
They're putting 50 there.
What?
And 25 bungalows there.
Oh, no.
Look, Gayton Woods.
Oh, where the bluebells are.
Yes, that's right, Mrs. Crabb. There's the bluebell woods.
Oh, Mr. Gale, that'll spoil them.
Most of the houses will look back onto the wood, so they won't have enough light. In the end, I expect the wood will have to go.
Oh, that do be a downright shine.
Yes, yes, yes. They'll ruin the place. Take away our rural character and give us uniformity and built-up roads and traffic lights all over the green. Oh, and no litter signs and concrete lampposts and pavements, I suppose.
Yes, all along each side of the main road here.
Yes.
Oh, look, they're giving it a new name, the Broadway.
Are you sure, Bangy?
It's as plain enough here, my lady.
Oh,
that's
yes.
Where all the new shops will be. Next to the old.
Shops? So many.
20, with space in front for cars.
Oh, do you think they'll have a new grocer's shop?
Don't worry, Mrs. Crabb. I'm sure all your old customers will still come to your shop.
Oh, well, I don't know. It seems a bit hard. Of course, the shop is a bit of a muddle.
It's a very nice shop, isn't it, Mrs. Bagg?
Of course it is. And where should we all go for a bit of gossip?
There doesn't appear to be anything actually on the green except a new glass bus shelter.
But there is a shelter made of wood.
Yes.
Cool glass one wouldn't last 10 minutes. The boys will smash it up.
I shouldn't be surprised. But the main objection to the plan is the factory sites.
Factory?
Yes, yes, look. A glue factory where the manor is.
Oh, no.
Yes,
what?
And 5 more sites to the north joined up by these wide roads.
And look what they call this black blob here. Power station.
Oh.
They haven't actually invaded your area, but the glue factory isn't far away, and you have a new garage just here.
Right next to our orchard.
Yes. And look what they're going to do with the pond.
Well, where is it?
It was about here.
Oh.
But they filled it in.
The whole thing is absurd. The place won't be woodly at all. It'll be totally destroyed.
We've got to prevent the ministry going on with their plan.
Here, here. Well spoke, Mr. White.
It may be very difficult to prevent them. They have their ways and means. And they have something we lack. Power.
Yes,
I'm sorry to be pessimistic.
Well, they certainly won't get me out of my house. I'm not moving for anyone. I'll open it as a guest house or refuge for old actors and actresses.
That's right, ma'am.
Think what the newspapers would make of that. Famous stage stars in danger of losing their last sanctuary. I'd get Larry to give something. I shouldn't...
Look, I'm sorry to interrupt, but if the ministry is determined to take the manor, then they'll get it. Now, the only way we might succeed is by throwing them off the set.
Oh.
A subterfuge, a little deception.
Oh, nothing dishonest.
No. But we must fight them with their own weapons, if we can think hard. We must make everyone see how totally unsuitable Woodley is for this development.
That's right.
Bugs.
I beg your pardon.
Bugs. Low-lying water. The park's frightfully damp down to the east wall. They'll never be able to build there.
Oh, they'll drain it. We mustn't underestimate them.
No, I suppose not.
Oh, dear.
Look, why don't we form a deputation and go and see these frightful people in town? Beard them in their own den.
That's right.
Good idea, my lady.
I don't believe it would work.
Yes, but
they're quite accustomed to receiving protests from people who don't want to be thrown out of their homes. But they're too public-spirited to consider personal feelings or minority opinions.
Oh, varmint.
Yes, Michael, that is a possibility. Ours may be a minority point of view. Oughtn't we to find out what everyone else thinks?
Well, it isn't as if they plan to develop valuable farmland or affect anyone's livelihood. All they want to do, they'll say, is to bring our amenities up to date.
Oh, I'd give them amenities. Mm. How would they like it? Oh, now, Bangin, you shut up. Vicar. Yes. Isn't there a council for the preservation of something or other?
Oh, is there now?
I believe there is. Now, we must find that out. But in any case, the ministry will overcome objections by proving that the new houses will offer more comfort, better sanitation and so on.
What I can't see is why anyone wants a glue factory, a parade of shops and all that in this village of all places.
Yes, it is extraordinary, isn't it?
If it had been years ago when we first come here, well, might have been different. Might have cheered me up. Missing the Strand and Leicester Square like I did.
Oh, Bangy, dear, do shut up. That's got nothing to do with it.
What will the county council do?
Oh, they'll be overruled. And as a mere parish council, we won't stand a chance.
No.
I wish we had a lawyer living here.
Yes. Listen, all of you. Suppose I give an enormous party and invite them all down and we thrash it out. I've never yet failed to solve a problem over a glass of champagne.
Well, I fear they're not the champagne type, Lady Edmund.
Oh, well, Vicar.
Well, mushroom houses made of synthetic materials is what they want, and they don't mind where they put them.
Then they can put them somewhere else. They certainly won't build them on my land.
Ah, that's right.
Well, I suggest that we invite one of their representatives to come and tell us quite frankly what we're in for.
Then,
if we can find a weakness in his argument, we might be able to prevent the scheme. By inviting one of the enemy into the camp, we have a chance to spot the chinks in his armor.
As soon as possible.
I suggest we draft a letter to the ministry.
We'll ask them to send someone down on Saturday. Mm-hmm. We can meet him here in the afternoon, and we could ask a few friends and neighbors to attend.
That's good.
That might strengthen our position.
What a good idea.
We must get all the support we can. Mr. White, will you call on the Blessington Smythes? They aren't churchgoers. I wouldn't want to put them off.
Of course.
It's a pity Lord Northcliffe is dead. I could have persuaded him to give us support in all his newspapers.
That gives me an idea. Now, I know Willoughby Pope.
You mean the man who talks on the wireless?
Yes?
Oh, yes, he's the one with the little beard. He's got a photo in the Radio Times, you remember.
Oh, yes, Bangy, he's so handsome.
Bob Hope's got no beard, m'lady.
Not Bob Hope. Willoughby Pope, Mr. Bain.
Oh, I see.
You got it.
Do you think he would do something about Woodley? Would he say what a pity it would be to spoil it?
No, what I thought was an introduction. He would give me an introduction to Lord Fleet, the proprietor of the Sunday Globe and all those other papers, and I might interest him.
Bangy and I read that personality column of his every Sunday, don't we, Bangy?
We wouldn't miss it for worlds.
An introduction from Willoughby Pope will go a long way.
Excellent. And you will do your best with Mr. Blessington Smythe, won't you?
I'll see if I can catch him in this afternoon. Yes.
Well, now, if you'd come round the table and look at the map. Oh,
look a bit brighter now.
Lord, what a ghastly house. Tudor Towers. What a name.
Hey, Don. Good dog. Don!
Get off, you brute! No, stop!
Down, Rufus, down!
Oh,
Oh, good dog. Come here. Stop it. I'm Blessington Smythe. I do have my little dog. Didn't shake you up too much.
Little? He's enormous.
He's only a puppy. A Great Dane, you know. My wife's gone to Wayford in the sports car. What can I do for you? Come inside.
Well, my name is White. I've been asked by the parish council to come and see you.
I'm afraid I'm not a churchgoer.
Oh, it's nothing to do with the church. It's more a village matter. The fact is that we're faced with a delicate problem, and we're seeking the help of all the more important residents, and eventually everyone. At least we hope so.
What kind of help?
Active support.
Against what?
A government plan to make us into a satellite town, to build at least one factory, probably more, where the manor stands, and change Woodley from an attractive rural hamlet into a horrible suburban nightmare.
Well. I once thought of buying the manor. Suppose I could have made quite a lot of dough selling it to the government for this scheme.
But surely you don't want the plan to go ahead.
Why not? Won't affect me. I mean, we can't see the village from here.
Oh, but now look here.
The place is developed, the value of our land will rise. This is quite a good property, and I own another bit of land across on the far side of the green. Blacksmith's place is on part of it. It might be quite a valuable site.
Well, Mr. Blessington Smythe, we had hoped that you would...
No. I mean, Woodley wants waking up. Everyone's asleep, living in the past. If my wife and I want a spot of razzmatazz...
Razzmatazz?
Excitement. Life, you know, hitting the high spots, you know. Oh, we have to go up to town. You can't expect everything to stay the same forever. You shouldn't want it
but
to.
But they want to destroy the character of the village. Surely you came down here because you like living in the country.
No. My wife wanted to get away from her sister in Golders Green. I bought this place as an investment in the war. Saw at once how to convert it. It's quite nicely done, eh? I always liked the Tudor style. A lot of it in Golders Green. There were three old thatch cottages. You would have given a couple of hundred smackers for them. Of course, we had to move the old people out, and it took months to get it right. I can make a profit any time I sell.
Well, I suppose there's nothing more to say.
Rather fancy Miss Selford contemporary, you know. As you see the kitchen. We've got the lot. It's all automatic. Dishwashers, fridges, deep freeze, glass polishers, floor scrubbers, cake mixers, all electric. Bang on.
So we can't hope for your support.
I'm afraid not. Be more than I dare.
Why?
Well, I'll let you into a secret. I'm a director of a big cement firm. Now, if there's to be any building around here, we might get the order. Actually, I should thank you for telling me about the plan. We might not be too late to pull a few strings. Sorry, old man.
That's quite all right.
I suppose it'll be the new Ministry of Development that thought this up.
Yes, I think so.
Ivo Cockett, eh? He's the minister, isn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm sure he is. He's a member of my club. Well, bye-bye, old man.
Bye-bye, Mr. Blessington Smythe.
Oh, darling, what a shame.
Yes, a dead loss, I'm afraid. That man's a savage. Oh, Lord, what a waste of time.
Perhaps Lord Thingamajig will be better. It was awfully nice of Willoughby Pope to give you an introduction.
Yes, he happens to be a helpful friend as well as an influential one, and it's a pretty rare combination.
Did he tell you anything about him?
Lord Fleet? Oh, yes. He's quite old now. He started in Fleet Street 40 or 50 years ago as a messenger boy. Among other things, he owns 2 Sunday and 2 daily papers, 4 women's mags, and something called the Aquarium News.
No, what's that?
A magazine for fish collectors. Oh, he is one. Willoughby told me that old Fleet's collection of goldfish is the finest in the world. There are 20 large glass tanks. He sometimes pays £300 or £400 for a rare specimen.
Then I suppose he's entirely given up active service in Fleet Street.
Oh, no. I gather that all his editors live in terror of him. He tells them what line to take about politics and things. He does it on shortwave wireless from his house or his yacht.
Oh, good. Then he can tell the Sunday Globe and the others to come out with a walloping big attack on the horrible Minister of Development and all his beastly work.
Well, that's what we must try for, darling. It's a pity I know nothing whatever about goldfish. The wonderful heritage of our countryside, of our village.
We don't want to be rushed into accepting what someone in Whitehall, however sincere, thinks is good for us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope I've given you a clear picture, Lord Fleet, of what they propose to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry if I've been a bit long-winded. Will you help us, Lord Fleet? You do agree that to plonk down a glue factory of all things right in the middle of a lovely Surrey village is simply pointless vandalism.
Like exercise?
Very much. I live in the country, you know.
Of course. Where?
Woodley, in Surrey. The village I was telling you about.
Well, come and see my goldfish. Interested in goldfish?
Well.
Come along this way. I've built a special aquarium for them, where the indoor swimming pool used to be. 20 tanks, constant fresh water, aeration. I think you'll like it.
Really? It sounds wonderful.
Here we are. Secret entrance. Press button. Now. Come through.
Thank you.
Ah, some collectors would give anything to get hold of my fish. Caught a fella scooping out eggs with a waterproof hat, putting them into a whiskey flask. Shot him out quick. Now, here's some of my favorites.
No, these magnifying glasses make the fishes look as big as sharks. Mm. I got quite a shock.
See them better, big. Beauties, these telescope-eyed ones. Aye, truncated cone variety, see? Look at that one, for instance.
Yes.
Have to keep a proper balance in the tanks. Each one is exactly twice as long as it's deep.
Ah, I see.
Ah, these are the fantails over here.
Uh-huh.
And these are the veil tails. More glamorous, aren't they?
They are indeed, yes.
These scaleless ones are very rare. Japanese shabunkins.
Really?
Aye. Do you know much about fish?
Well,
I can't find staff these days. Had a man who let the temperature drop and two of my most precious shabunkins nearly died. I had to sit up with them all night. Caught a chill they had.
Oh, what a shame.
Where do you say you come from?
Woodley, in Surrey.
Ah, well, thank you so much for coming to see me.
Hmm?
I've enjoyed your visit enormously. Most entertaining.
Oh, well, I...
Sorry you can't stay to tea. Down that passage, yes. The butler will show you out. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Lord Fleet.
Take down a message to all editors. I begin. The Ministry of Development is considering a plan to take over the village of Woodley in Surrey and enlarge it as a satellite town. The plan is still only in the blueprint stage. It may be resisted by local councils. Print nothing yet. Someone who was at school with Ivo Cockett, the Minister of Development, should interview him. We must support this scheme as consistent with my policy of looking forward, not back. Repeat, not back. Therefore, my instructions are that you will on no account favor the opinions of a man named Michael White, who may seek your support and sympathy. When the time comes, you will play him down as an out-of-date reactionary. Kindly ask Miss Beavis to send me another sack of number 6 goldfish food. The last consignment was damp. That is all, thank you. Message ends.
When I heard Mr. Bettington's was going to pull my forge down, I offered to make him some iron gates for his garden. How long will they take you, he asked me. If I'd have told the truth, I'd have said, all the rest of my life, sir, if he starts tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock.
Oh, Mr. Gale, you're just like a Mr. Steck I used to know. On the Alls, a comic he was. Jack Stack he was billed as.
Oh, really? Oh, it was somewhat awful. I told him as I'd done lots of wrought iron gates like that, only better. I never done no wrought iron gates in my life with naked women picking bananas all over the
Ain't you, Mr. Gale? Ain't you?
Oh, I ain't you there. But what would you have done so as not to be turned out, eh? How long will they take you, Mr. Gale, he said. All the rest of my life, sir. This is the one job I'm going to
pin out Mrs. Bangs month after month. The finest wrought iron dates in England.
If you ever finish him.
Hello, Bangs.
Call me Bangy, dear. All my friends do.
All right, Bangy. Wasn't it a good idea to ask the man from the ministry to come down?
Yes. At any rate, we'll know the worst, I suppose.
Lady Edmonds looks simply magnificent.
She's a ruddy marvel, isn't she?
She certainly is.
She could go out in front and thrill them and keep them happy for 3 hours now, just the same as she ever did at the old Gaiety. Of course, bless her heart. It takes a bit longer to get it all on now.
Of course.
An hour in the bathroom she was this morning, from 11:30 to 12:30. Then there was a good half hour in front of our dressing room mirror. Then another half hour in front of the chapelle. Three boxes of powder, two different perfumes, three shades of rouge, two lipsticks, and then they were slept in the right shoes. We changed our mind about a dozen times. We got 53 pairs of shoes in that long white cupboard. And then the hat. Well, you can see for yourself, it's worth every penny of it.
Oh, yes, she's wonderful. And when you both drove up here to the village hall in that enormous old white motor car, I expected royalty to get out.
Lady Edmonds is a queen, dear. Poppy Primrose was the Gaiety girl. Her picture postcard sold in thousands 40 years ago. She was all the rage, with her lovely singing voice, oh, and that smile.
How lovely, Bangy, dear. Mm.
We're very grateful to Mr. Spoon for coming down to explain exactly what the Ministry of Development plans to do in the village. Before asking him to speak, I would like to welcome two guests who, though not members of the parish council, have kindly consented to attend this preliminary meeting. We particularly welcome Lady Edmonds, who, as principal landowner in the district, principal landowner, is mainly affected by the proposed changes. Then we have Mrs. Bangs, whom we all know. Finally, we welcome Mr. Spoon from the Ministry of Development.
Before I begin, I would like to ensure that there are no members of the press here, that nothing that is discussed will be reported.
Speak up!
Well, this is important during the early stages, and of course our meeting is quite informal. I take it this will be observed.
Oh, I think so. I don't imagine any of us has thought much about the press.
Good. Then if I may, with the aid of this map, I will outline briefly some of our proposals. We want, above all, to be fair to everyone, cause no unnecessary distress. We've examined the district carefully, and I believe that when the meeting is concluded, you will agree that the developments we propose will greatly benefit the local population. Now, before I start, are there any doubts which occur to any of you?
Have people been walking about the manor park making these plans?
Yes, where to central?
Who gave them permission?
Well, I can't say offhand.
I can. No one did. Why didn't you ask first?
Well, do I understand that you have some interest in the park?
I own it.
Then you are...
I am Lady Edmonds.
I see. Oh, well, Lady Edmonds, if you'll kindly listen, you will agree, I think, that you will benefit as much as anyone from our scheme. Naturally, you will receive adequate compensation.
I don't want compensation. I'm quite happy as I am.
If you'll pardon my saying so, Lady Edmonds, you're not putting the ground to good use. It isn't producing anything of value. It isn't... it isn't under cultivation.
Nonsense. It produces hay.
Hay? Well, it's hardly valuable from an agricultural point of view.
Easy to say you don't live in the country.
Please, Mr. Bates. I mean, you might be growing wheat or keeping cattle or sheep. Hay isn't essential to the national larder.
I understand on reliable authority that cows and horses eat my hay. I get a good price for it. If you think that providing food for cows and horses is unimportant agriculturally, I should say you'd better stick to Whitehall, Mr. Spoon.
And take his fork with him.
Come, Lady Edmonds, your real objection is that you don't want to leave your house. Well, that's only natural, but I put it to you, since you insist on bringing it into the discussion, that A single person living in a large mansion with 26 rooms.
28?
Well, 28 then. As I was saying...
31 if you count the bedrooms in the attic.
Thank you, Baggy dear. I mean 31.
Well, whatever it is.
Not at all. We must be accurate. It is essential to be accurate.
The naughty old thing.
Oh, darling.
Would it not be better to live in a small flat in London while your mansion benefits the whole community, not you alone?
Are you trying to tell me where to live?
Well, these things must be done for the benefit of everyone.
You sound like a red.
Not at all. I'm not a red.
You are a green on
her. You want to move. You want to move me out because you think an old woman shouldn't live in a big house. You're certainly a red.
I am not a red.
You forget that my husband's grandfather bought the place, that he worked hard for it, and that it was left to me. It isn't yours we're talking about, or the nation's, or something belonging to the government. It is my house, his and mine. I am happy here. But that is nothing to you and your associates.
I appreciate your point of view, Lady Edmonds, but the truth is that the house requires very considerable attention. It should either be kept up or come down.
I consider that a most impertinent remark. Have you ever been inside?
No, not actually inside.
And you never will while I'm there. You've been snooping around the outhouses, jumping to conclusions.
You will pardon me,
jumping
but I...
Jumping to conclusions, because a tile or two is missing from the garage roof. Let me tell you that the house is perfect inside.
And that's a fact.
Oh, do shut up, Benny. No dry rot, no damp. They built to last in those days. None of your modern jerry building, nothing you build via scheme, could ever be as distinguished, as beautiful and historic as Woodley Manor.
Here, here.
The delightful, delightful.
It's maddening, absolutely maddening to think of its being pulled down.
I wonder if I might say a few words.
Yes, yes of course, would. Mr. White.
Naturally, by all means.
Well, I don't know whether your ministry has taken this factor into consideration. We regard living in rural houses and cottages as a privilege, more important than the latest luxury provided by a modern block of flats. It's our land. Our children's countryside. I doubt if anyone here is convinced that Woodley needs to expand.
If we can't pull down the old and we mustn't encroach on nature, where are we going to build the new towns and put the atomic generating stations?
Why not put them in industrial areas?
And why put a glue factory in a study building?
Yes. We urgently need a modern glue plant to provide gum for the increasing number of government envelopes. It'll be a great economy. We've chosen this site because the workers can live in the new houses, which will be government-controlled.
Isn't a glue factory frightfully smelly?
We are wasting time. You don't seem to realize, any of you, that I'm not going to allow any building or development as far as my land is concerned. From what I hear, there are far too many government envelopes already. Perhaps a little less glue.
That man yesterday. I don't like being called. And for the reactionary people.
Ah, well, poor fellow. I suppose that according to his likes...
Mrs. Livery would have to worry about if I had anything to do with it. Oh, I beg your pardon, Vicar. Spoon, indeed. Cool, there's a silly name.
Yes, I'm afraid we haven't seen the last of him. He's bringing down some assistance of his on Saturday week to what he calls finalize the whole thing.
Oh, it's too much.
We must do something. We ought to have a counterplan.
Ah, yes, yes, indeed.
Could we hold a protest meeting?
You mean banners and posters and a petition?
Yes. I don't think we need actually shout in the House of Lords.
I'd show them.
What would you do, Mrs. Banks?
Me? I'd do the same as if it was April Fool's Day.
Oh, how do you mean?
Well, make idiots of them. Show them up. Wouldn't let them get near the place. Keep them away.
But how?
Yes, yes, how?
Oh, there's ways and means. Someone might meet the train and make sure they go somewhere else. Young Jenner could take that old green bus.
I'd drive them all over the place. Her's got solid tires.
Yes, but if we did keep them away or make them look foolish, we'd only be putting off the evil day.
Well, then there's notices.
Notices?
Yes. Smallpox, keep out. Atomic bomb store, strictly private.
How about foot and mouth?
Or clown pest, beware, like we had last year.
Oh, that's the idea. Put notes all over the place.
Mr. Fane, could you look at this map over here?
Righto, Mr. White.
Yes.
Well, dearie,
So her ladyship came to tea with you, eh?
Oh, yes, Fanny, darling. You were perfectly right. She's a sweet old thing.
Mm.
Admired everything we've done to the cottage.
Pink paint on the stairs?
Yes. And she could hardly believe we hadn't got electricity or drains.
How did the walnut cake go?
Fanny, darling, it was just as you said. She simply dug into it.
And did you talk of buying the cottage?
Well, sort of. It depends on what she wants for it and what a building society would give on a mortgage.
Mm. Well, then you think we can get volunteers.
Lord love you, Mr. White. We'll have too many.
Well, at any rate, they'll all have to be sworn to secrecy.
Of course.
From something Lady Edmund said to me, I gathered she had a plan of her own. She didn't say what it was exactly.
She gets a lot of wonderful ideas. I work a treat in a play, but...
I wish I could have seen her at the Gaiety.
In the lead in the dancing teacher.
Yes.
Oh, that was something, I can tell you. You'd never have forgotten it.
Yes, Fanny, dear. It certainly is marvelously funny. Where are they now?
They're sitting on a seat on one side of the green, looking absolutely wore out. That Mr. Spoon, two other men from Whitehall, and a thin, bossy-looking woman. They arrived at Cranley Station a little after 12, and it were raining cats and dogs.
Dear, dear, yes, so it was. And what did they do?
Well, you see, young Jenner, he took that old green bus what's been standing in the stables at Bramley. How he ever managed to make it go is a miracle. Ain't been on the road for 15 years.
Really? It must be pretty dirty, I should think.
Dirty? It's had ends living in it for ever so long. Cool, the smell.
Goodness.
And bumpy isn't the word. You know, spring's all gone. Young Jenner said he waited in the lane outside Cranley Station, and anyone from Woodley, he shouts as soon as they come off the train. Well, as it was pouring down, I was mighty glad to see a bus.
Yes, I suppose
so. You know, he drove miles and miles and miles, right over to Rudgwick and Slinford. Took the best part of an hour. Then back all round the lanes, through Baynard's Green and Winford. Blowing on that old bob horn. And the rain pouring down. And that Spoon keeps shouting something about they're going the wrong way and telling him to stop. But he takes no notice. Then he stops very sudden-like up near Farley Mill. And they all scuttles away like they was frightened.
Oh, I don't wonder.
Well, then Michael... well, that is Mr. White.
Oh, a nice boy, I thought. Good profile.
Well, along he comes in that business car and gives Mr. Spoon his knives and forks another lift. And what do you think happened?
Oh, I believe anything.
They come round a corner in that very narrow lane beyond Valley Farm. And what should they see but a great big A-wagon stuck there with a wheel come on.
So they couldn't get by.
No. But you can see Woodley Church Tower from there across the fields. So Mr. White told them the best thing was to walk. Not more than a mile.
But isn't it all marshy and soggy?
Oh, I should say so. Sinking half up your car, filthy.
Poor things. Oh, my heart bleeds for them.
You know, Mr. Bain told me it was as much as they could do to get that wheel off the wagon.
I suppose they didn't get lost again.
Well, you suppose wrong, then. In the next field, they come on the notices. Danger, out of bounds, foot and mouth. So they go to the left, and there's another. Keep out, foul pit.
Oh, Baggy, stop it, come.
No, Mr. Gale had written them beautiful with big black letters, and he spelt it F-O-U-L.
Bless his
heart. They put them all around everywhere, and what with barbed wire and padlocks and all the gays, oh, it was as good as the war.
How on earth did they get through?
Well, I'm not quite sure, but it cleared up about 4:30, and there they are on that seat of the green. I've never seen people in such a state, absolutely done in.
Well, Bangy, dear, foul pests they certainly are. And perhaps they do realize they're not welcome in Woodley. Oh, it must have been such fun spoofing them. But you know, it won't prevent them doing what they mean to.
No, I suppose not.
All the same, Bangy, dear, you're not to worry. Everything's going to be all right. I promise you. I have a plan that can't fail.
Oh? Was that what you fixed up with that lawyer chap who came over on Wednesday?
Partly.
Does he think your plan will really work?
He doesn't know what it is.
Well, then...
And I'm not going to discuss it with anyone, not even you, Bangy, darling. It's a little private plan of my very own. Life hasn't been much fun since...
Since Sir Benjamin died?
Ah, Bangy. My dear old friend, we've been together a very long time, and I'm truly grateful for all your kindness. Half a lifetime of love and kindness, Bangy dear, but... Well,
It's been lonely since he died.
I know.
Remember when we came to Woodley first? Must be nearly 40 years ago. Do you remember all the parties we had? His friends from London who stayed. Eva Maud and Alec Taylor.
And that stupid Lord Coote.
And that stupid Lord Coote. Died so long ago before the war. Oh, the tennis and the croquet.
Oh, and you look lovely on an horse.
Oh, the costume was all right, but I never really liked riding.
What I shall never forget are shows like The Gramophone Girl and Little Miss Courtney. That number of yours in Act Three, you in your motor car.
Oh, yes. You in your motor car as the sun was setting. Da-dum, da-dum, pa-pum, as the... No, those aren't the words. Oh, I'm tired, Bangy. You buzz off to the village again, I'll have a rest. Everything will be all right tomorrow. I'll give them a lesson. Pull down my house, wouldn't they? Benji's house. Damn their eyes. Yes. These shoes are exactly right with this dress. What's the time? 6 o'clock. No one will be about for another 2 hours. That's better. Now, how do I look? Yes, this is the right dress. Now, the yellow hat. That's right. And, yes, I think my diamond earrings. Oh, yes, and the long pearl necklace. Now, what else? I know. The little mink coat. Yes. And white gloves. Well, Puppy Primrose, this is your farewell performance. And it's going to be something no one will ever forget. Come, Lama Girl. There's the cue for your entrance. A parasol. Here goes. It's a lovely day. Thank God I couldn't have bought it if it had been raining. Oh, the flowers. Pity we didn't have a child. Or is it? Weeds everywhere. Oh, come on, my girl. Never get round the park at this rate. The lawn. Oh, what a lawn. The grass must be 2 feet high if it's an inch. What's this? A croquet ball. Oh, look at that. Half rotted away. Up there on the terrace when we had a party down from town, we used to sit under colored umbrellas on summer evenings drinking bubbly. Oh, it was fun. How we used to laugh. Oh, right round the wall to the summer house. And the stables. Through the kitchen. Garden. Under the oak tree to the lodge and then... back. Take about half an hour. Oh, the heat. It's cold.
I must get up to the... Must get to the top of the stairs. They're absolutely quiet out in front. Not a sound. Not a cough. I've got them spellbound. The music begins now. Just as I reach the gates of the palace and turn and... No! The darlings! Oh, the darlings! Ladies and gentlemen, this is the happiest day of my...
Quarter of sugar, half a bacon, and a tin of sardines. Is that all?
Yes, thank you. I was just saying, it must have been a rare shock finding a ladyship like that.
Oh, yes, indeed, poor old lady.
And poor old Mrs. Bangs.
Oh, my, yes, poor Mrs. Bangs, and her so fond of her, too. Like mother and daughter, they were.
More like sisters, they were about the same age.
Ah, well, Mr. White, they do tell me that the old lady has sent you and Mrs. White a little keepsake to remember her by.
That's right, Mrs. Crabb.
Some folks think that she went a bit queer in the head towards the end.
Oh.
Well, if she did. It was a very nice kind of dotterness, bless her heart.
Such a wonderful thing to do, to give a couple of strangers like us a lovely cottage and money to do it up with.
And something to me for a fridge. Oh, that must have been dear Mrs. Bangs, I'm sure.
Yes, but where you put it, Ma? Hey, upstairs on your bed? Well, there's no room in the shop for certain.
Oh, well, now.
The lawyer told us that Lady Edmonds has left that meadow over there to the school for a playing field.
Yes, no. And a new hall and changing rooms with showers.
Oh, yes. Oh, finding her ladyship so sudden like that, so early in the morning, all dressed up to the nines. Oh.
Bangy thinks she had one of her attacks.
Yes, but...
Well, her heart was very bad, apparently.
Yeah, Arabain was saying down at the plough last evening, you were saying as it were queer her dying so soon after making her will.
Oh.
No, I don't think so. Huh? People often do, the lawyer said, as if they'd sort of known. All the same, it is rather queer about the main bequest.
How do you mean, Mr. White?
Well, haven't you heard?
No.
She left the manor house and most of the estate to Ivo Cockett.
Well, how come that's queer? I expect he's a cousin of hers, or maybe her nephew.
Oh, no. He's no relation.
Oh, who is he, Mrs. White?
He's the Minister of Development.
Oh, really?
What'll he do with it?
Cut it up, I suppose. Development begins at home, just like anything else.
Mm. Well, she was a decent old girl, but she does seem to have sold us down the river all right. What can have made her do it?
Well, you never know, do you, sir?
And this is, I fancy, the breakfast room. No, I think it's called the Small Blue Parlour.
Yes? Well... Very pretty room, eh? Suppose it is what you could call small in a house of this size.
Yes, Minister. And through here is, I presume, the billiard room. And this is the terrace. I suppose that was the garden down there once upon a time.
Bellman, you're the cot.
An absolute clot.
I'm very sorry, Minister. I had no idea she would leave the place to you.
Quite irrelevant. It has nothing to do with it. But it's obviously not a suitable place for a development area. Not a village like this. Didn't you look at it first?
Several times. I thought it was what we needed. A big park, not used for agriculture. The house going to needing attention. All the usual services, within easy reach of Wayford.
You sound like an estate agent. Well, now we must start all over again. Find a new project before the other ministers think we are doing nothing. I only hope they don't hear this fiasco. Remind me to ring up Lord Fleet when I get back. He'll keep it out of the papers.
So many weeks of work. So many files, letters, documents, plans and so forth. The contractors will be furious. I suppose there's absolutely no hope of going ahead. Not even if we modify the plan.
What? Pull down my house? You must be crazy. Just think what the opposition would make of that in the House. I'd have to resign. I'd probably lose my seat into the bargain. They'd say I was making money out of the scheme. And so I should be. Anywhere else you can put your glue factory. Anywhere you like in the whole of the United Kingdom. But not in Woodley. Not in my village.
Yes, yes.
Whatever made you choose this site, anyway? An idiot, what's his name, Spoon?
I'm not sure.
Well, the fellow's a clot. An absolute clot. What is he good at besides tis? Getting ministers the sack, I suppose. Imagine what the headlines would look like. Cockett sells own home for development. Oh, it doesn't bear thinking about. Spoon had better return to his old job. Where did he come from?
Fisheries.
Then throw him back if they'll have him. Who selected him?
I'm afraid I did.
If this is his idea of planning a development area on land, then he'd certainly better return to the Ministry of Fisheries. Anyway, why wasn't I presented with the plan at a much earlier stage?
We didn't want to.
Well, it doesn't matter. I caught it in time. When it's all over, Bellman, you must bring your wife down for a weekend.
Oh, thank you very much. Then you'll definitely live here.
Of course. Why not?
Yes, I see. Did you know her well?
Eh?
Lady Edmonds.
Not what one would call really well.
Yes. And the solicitor told me that Lady Edmonds had never set eyes on Mr. Cockett in her life. Never even heard of him. She simply wanted to leave the manor and estate and £40,000 to the Minister of Development. Whoever he might be.
That was Barbara Cooper in Village Green with Vi Stevens, adapted for radio by Lance Siefking from the novel by John Montgomery. The cast was as follows: Mary White, Eva Haddon, Old Mrs. Crabb, Mary O'Farrell, Mrs. Bangs, Vi Stevens, Michael White, Dennis Hawthorne, Lady Edmonds, Barbara Cooper, the Vicar, Rolf Lefevre, Ivo Cockett, Eric Anderson, Alec Bellman, Derek Blomfield, Hugo Spoon, Preston Lockwood, Old Mr. Gale, Peter Claughton, Landlord, Peter Pratt, Harold Bain, Lee Crutchley, Young Jenner, Andrew Irvin, Blessington Smythe, Anthony Hall, Lord Fleet, Arthur Gomez. The play, which was recorded, was produced by Betty Davis.